Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Arca Continental conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Please note that this call is being recorded. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn it over to Melanie Carpenter of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the senior management team of Arca Continental to review the results for the second quarter of 2017. The earnings release went out this morning, and the long version is available on the company website as usual. The URL is arcacontal.com in the investor relations section. This call is also being transmitted via webcast. It's my pleasure to introduce our speakers. Joining us from Monterrey are Mr. Francisco Garza Egloff, the CEO of Arca Continental, Mr. Arturo Gutierrez, Deputy CEO, Mr. Emilio Marcos, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manuel Gutierrez, Director of Corporate Planning, as well as the Investor Relations team. As you can imagine, we have a very high number of participants on today's call, so when it comes time for the Q&A, please limit yourself to one question so that we can get to everyone. And we really appreciate your cooperation in this. At this time, it's my pleasure to turn the call over to Francisco Garza Egloff to begin the presentation. So please go ahead, Pancho.
Okay, thanks, Melanie. And good morning, everyone. I want to thank all of you for joining us today to go over our second quarter performance and important recent developments. The last 12 months have certainly been transformational for Arca Continental. The announcement in May of last year that we would become the first Mexican bottler to operate in the U.S. in a territory as important as Southwest marked the start of a new level of partnership with the Coca-Cola company. The process since the initial announcement has been remarkable, as our two organizations set forth on a single mission of achieving a transition with practically no disruption for customers, consumers, and for our associates. I would like to express my gratitude to all the various teams from Arca Continental, the Coca-Cola company, and CCR in the Southwest territory, who, by the way, are now part of our organization. For achieving this important outcome of a seamless transition and concluding this transition successfully on time. By working together with dedication, a strong commitment and passion that characterizes our people, we accomplish our goal, and precisely today we are presenting for the first time the results of our bottling operation in the U.S. as part of our second quarter 2017 earnings report. I also want to share that we are rapidly making progress in the stabilization and the integration phase. We are moving forward with the specific actions to replicate best practices in revenue management and route-to-market models from Arca Continental's total execution commercial model. We are also developing the roadmap to further optimize our supply chain and deploy operational excellence across all production facilities. Later, Arturo will provide you with further details regarding our first 3 months in this important U.S. market, as well as an update of the value creation and synergy plan that we have already set in motion. We are encouraged by numerous opportunities that we can capitalize on, and we will work diligently and jointly with Coca-Cola North America to meet and exceed what is expected of us. The joint efforts in the last few months with the Coca-Cola company do not end there. We recently announced the inauguration of our new value-added dairy product facility in Guayaquil, Ecuador for Tonicorp, which we jointly own in partnership. This has been with an investment of $100 million. The Tonicorp plant becomes one of the largest dairy plants in Latin America, allowing our company to double its production capacity to reach up to 150 million liters of dairy product per year. The 34,000 square meter facility has 19 production lines, utilizing state-of-the-art technology to produce a wide range of products, including yogurt, flavored milk, and ice cream. These two recent milestones are great examples of what we have been accomplishing together with the Coca-Cola Company to continue growing and creating value. We are proud of our strong relationship with the Coca-Cola Company over 91 years of trust and collaboration. And I am quite sure that there are many more opportunities to come in the future. Moving now to our consolidated results, let me start by saying that we are pleased with our second quarter performance. We deliver another consecutive quarter of solid revenue and profit growth, overcoming a still challenging business environment. Total consolidated volume grew 25.5% in the second quarter to reach 557 million unit cases, and the net consolidated revenues reached 38.4 billion pesos, up 67% from the same quarter last year. All these figures, obviously, include the new U.S. bottling operation. It is important to mention that organically, on comparable terms, we continue generating healthy growth thanks to volume increase in personal water, as well as in sparkling soft drinks, and a positive price mix resulting from our segmented revenue strategies. There will be more deep comments from Arturo and Emilio later. Our consolidated EBITDA in the second quarter rose 39%, representing a margin of 19.2%, and making this the 25th consecutive quarter of EBITDA growth since the merger of Arca Continental. The outstanding results of this quarter reflect once again our commitment to stay focused on serving customers and consumers with excellence, while at the same time executing a thorough plan to standardize operational processes, capture synergies, and establish a common identity and culture to achieve the company goals. With that, let me turn the call over to Arturo. Please, Arturo, you are so kind.
Thank you, Pancho, and good morning, everyone. Let me now expand on the operational performance across our geographies and lines of business, beginning with our Mexico division. We continue to demonstrate the strength of our beverage business in our flagship market, delivering a very strong second quarter. Unit case volume grew a solid 3.6%, cycling a 10.8% of the prior year, with growth in sparkling of 1.9%, still beverages of 8.4%, and a 13.9% growth in personal water. This marks the eighth consecutive quarter of volume growth, confirming the sequential improvement of volume performance throughout the last 2 years. Total net revenues in Mexico rose 11.7% in the quarter to reach 15.7 billion pesos. Average price per case in Mexico, not including jug water, rose 8.8%, reaching 55.87 pesos, sustained by our segmented revenue management and affordability strategies based on our flexible price pack architecture. We are focused on building a long-term sustainable business by balancing price realization, incremental transactions, and profitable volume growth. At the profit level, EBITDA in Mexico increased 1.1% to 3.9 billion pesos in the second quarter, representing a margin of 25.4%. This contraction in margin is due to increases in key inputs, specifically sweeteners. During the second quarter, we continued our tactical actions to invigorate the sparkling flavor category. We launched Fanta Better Orange with a new formula, supported by an innovative media campaign, reaching the highest monthly volume sales for Fanta in Arca Continental's history. Exports of Topo Chico continued their sequential sales growth trend, up 22% in the second quarter, as we continue increasing penetration in the mainstream market. Topo Chico expanded brand promotions and marketing activities in major events across the U.S. and is actively engaged in several co-branding and activation efforts with liquor companies. Let me turn to our South America region, where we continue making steady and sequential progress. Total volume in the second quarter declined 1%, driven by growth in Peru, which was partially offset by volume drops in Argentina and Ecuador. Total revenues increased 13.9% in the quarter, reaching 9.1 billion pesos, as we continued deploying our total execution commercial model across all our operations in the region. EBITDA rose 25.6% to 1.6 billion pesos in the second quarter, representing a margin of 17.8%, an expansion of 170 basis points. In Argentina, volume in the second quarter declined 1.8% and confirmed the overall sequential improvement, while with the last 2 months of the quarter growing 1.4% and 2.9% respectively. We are encouraged by these results, and we strongly believe that the economy is set to rebound this year. We continued investing in market-focused initiatives, enhancing our execution at the point of sale, and increasing cold drink availability, achieving a record high 58.5% coverage. We are expanding our point of sale execution capabilities supported by leading edge technology as we deploy our ACT commercial model of execution. We are moving forward with the integration of the new Aves business. We already started rollout of this new soy milk portfolio to drive value and innovation in this new beverage platform. Moving over to Ecuador, we also start to see a slow yet steady recovery. Volume was down 2.8% in the second quarter. Notably, Coca-Cola brand posted solid volume growth in the quarter, up 14.4%, thanks to the one brand strategy and the affordability of the new Coca-Cola without sugar. Despite the challenging macroeconomic environment and a deceleration in consumer spending in Ecuador in the first half of the year, we continue to sustain our leadership of both volume and value share across sparkling and still beverage categories. Lastly, Tonicorp posted low single-digit sales growth. Tonicorp has been able to capture additional volume and value share across all relevant value-added dairy categories, such as yogurt, flavored milk, and ice cream. We continue to take advantage of our new state-of-the-art manufacturing facility by centralizing our production capabilities and accelerating innovation in our product portfolio in categories such as Greek yogurt, high-protein milk, and flavored milk. I will now close our South American operations review with Peru, where we continue improving our earnings momentum despite the slowdown in the economy, resulting among other factors from the devastating floods and landslides that affected a large part of the country. Volume in the second quarter came in essentially flat, up 0.2%, driven by growth in sparkling beverages and flavored water, up 1.3% and 6.9% respectively, and offset by declines in bottled water and juices. We continue driving strong volume growth and market share gains across our low or zero-calorie beverages portfolio, including Coca-Cola Zero, Inca Kola Zero, Frugos Light, Powerade Zero, and the launch of the new flavored water under the San Luis brand. Furthermore, during the second quarter, we launched the new Powerade price architecture with 300 ml and 600 ml presentations with good results. Net revenues increased 3.9% in the second quarter as we continue perfecting execution at the point of sale and refining our commercial model ACT. We are focusing our efforts in the traditional channel to increase coverage of our key SKU portfolio. We'll continue investing in market-focused initiatives, bolstering our returnable base and increasing cooler coverage. This quarter, we installed over 10,000 additional cold drink units. Last month, we began operations at our new distribution center in Lima. This significant milestone is part of our strategic plan to overhaul logistics and secondary distribution. Let me shift gears to our new operation in the United States. We are pleased with our performance in the second quarter, our first quarter of operation in this market. Results were in line with our expectations, delivering 4.2% revenue growth to $614.8 million. Volume came in flat overall, reaching 103 million unit cases. During 2017, we have been implementing a series of key commercial initiatives for each of our three major channels. For large stores, we are accelerating sparkling transaction packs to promote immediate consumption. In convenience stores, we are growing the energy portfolio with increased points of interaction and market execution. On the on-premise channel, we are increasing availability of key packages to drive profitability. We're also actively promoting MyCoke.com portal, a new online tool to provide customers with more convenient and simpler ways to shop and order our products. Also during the second quarter, we launched the Ice Cold Share a Coke summer campaign with 1,000 first and last name labels, sampling tour, and innovative digital advertising. The traveling Share an Ice Cold Coke experience made tour stops in Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, and El Paso, refreshing fans and customizing Coca-Cola or Coke Zero mini cans. Let me now report on the progress of our synergy plan. As originally announced, we expect synergies to be in the range of $60 to $80 million within a three-year period. As our history suggests, we will accelerate our productivity efforts across the value chain and look for opportunities on our entire geographic footprint. The benefits will come primarily from the following pathways: PET process innovation, secondary packaging optimization, operational and production efficiencies, leveraging direct procurement and revenue expansion alternatives, and replicating commercial practices from Arca Continental's Total Execution Act model. We prepared a comprehensive program and developed detailed action plans for short and midterm identified synergies, some of which were launched during our transition in agreement with Coca-Cola North America, such as the new inline blow molding capabilities at Abilene and San Antonio plants, and the secondary packaging optimization project at the McAllen plant. We also appointed a director to provide day-to-day oversight to our synergy program, with the support from a steering committee comprised by senior management, helping to set the tone for cooperation and ensuring that the means and mechanisms are in place to get things done. We're confident that we will deliver on our commitments. To conclude our operations review, let's move now to our snacks division, consisting of Bocados in Mexico, Wise Foods in the U.S., and Inalexa in Ecuador. Bocados delivered a mid-single-digit sales growth in the second quarter as we continue perfecting our commercial model, refining execution capabilities, and executing segmented price adjustments across our portfolio. Bocados continued innovating our product portfolio and refreshing brands to attract new consumers. This quarter, we launched new products in the tortilla chip segment under the Topitos brand with a new look and an improved packaging design. The new Bocados plant in Querétaro is up and running. Corn and marzipan production lines are 100% operational, supporting our strategic geographic expansion to the center of Mexico. Wise Snacks in the U.S. faced another challenging quarter, posting mid-single-digit sales decline due to continued retailer volatility and competitive pressures from aggressive promotional activity. While grocery and mass channels contracted, Wise expanded footprint in the C-store channel, growing the business 4% versus the same period last year in this channel. With the new sponsorship of the Atlanta Braves at SunTrust Park, Wise developed co-branded Bravos tortilla chips for distribution in the South. We also initiated activation in key customers utilizing new Bravos items and Braves-branded display vehicles. This quarter, we launched Queso Habanero and Extreme Crunch Cheese Doodles and Si Señor Enredos Extreme, accelerating expansion of Si Señor brand in key Hispanic and other Southwest retailers. In Alexa, our snack business in Ecuador posted sequential mid-single-digit revenue growth driven by refined execution at the point of sale, new product launches, and segmented revenue management initiatives. We continue to gain volume and value share in the plantain, potato, and tortilla chip segments. We also captured additional share gains in the confectionery segment with our Inacake brand. I will now ask Emilio to discuss the details of our financial performance in the second quarter. Please, Emilio.
Thank you, Arturo, and welcome again, everyone. We appreciate your participation in our second quarter conference call, the first with our new U.S. operation. I first want to point out that we are introducing a new structure in communicating our earnings report to better reflect our broader geographic footprint. We'll present the results across three operating regions, United States, Mexico, and South America. Each region will consolidate all our beverage and complementary businesses. We are confident that this new structure will better reflect our results. Consolidated revenues grew 66.6% in the quarter and 42.6% for the first half of the year. On a currency-neutral basis and without U.S. beverages, net revenues increased 11% in both the quarter and the first half of 2017. Net sales in Mexico grew 11.7% in the quarter, while South America was up 14%. Coca-Cola Southwest beverages represented 32.4% of total quarterly sales. In the first half of the year, revenues in Mexico and South America were up 13 and 17% respectively, mainly thanks to effective price management and in every country. There were a few factors that drove our COGS up 80% in the quarter and 49.2% in the first half. We had higher sweetener prices in Mexico, the integration of U.S. operation, and exchange rate fluctuation of the Peruvian sol and the U.S. dollar versus Mexican peso. Sugar prices in Mexico were up 13% in the quarter compared to the same period of last year. SG&A expenses increased 63.4% in the quarter and 40.8% first half. The main drivers of these increases were the new U.S. operation, higher maintenance expenses, and fuel prices in Mexico, together with exchange rate variation versus the Mexican peso. In the quarter, operating income increased 31.5% for a margin of 13.7%. As of June, this line was up 21.8% with an operating margin of 13.8%. Consolidated EBITDA in the second quarter was up 38.9% to 7.4 billion pesos with 19.2% margin. Year to date, EBITDA rose to 12.4 billion, reflecting a margin of 19.6%. Comparable currency neutral and without U.S. beverages, EBITDA increased 5.3% this quarter and 8% in the first half, with a margin slightly above 21 for both periods. The income tax provision for the quarter was 1.2 billion pesos compared to 887 million pesos in the same period of last year. For the first half of the year, this line reached 2.1 billion, an increase of 14%. Effective tax rate for the quarter was 30.6%, affected by the integration of Coca-Cola Southwest beverages. The comprehensive cost of financing during the quarter was up 18.3%, mainly due to higher exchange rate losses generated by the impact of the Mexican peso appreciation in our net monetary accounts position. In the quarter, net income increased 2.5% to 2.1 billion pesos, representing a margin of 5.3%. For the first half of 2017, net income decreased 2.4% to 3.8 billion pesos, reflecting a margin of 6%. This line was mainly impacted by higher non-recurring expenses from the U.S. transaction, comprehensive cost of financing, and the income tax provision. As of June 30, 2017, we had a cash balance of 21.1 billion pesos and debt of 53.1 billion pesos, meaning a 1.17 times net debt to EBITDA coverage ratio. We successfully refinanced 10.1 billion pesos to a long-term facility at very competitive rates. Operating cash flow generation in the first 6 months of the year was 8.4 billion pesos. This was mainly allocated to CapEx, 5.8 billion, and 3.5 in dividends. After a successful transaction and within a few months operating in the U.S., we began to deploy our best practices to achieve our three-year design synergy plan and create a very smooth integration process. At the same time, we'll continue to work hard to protect the profitability in all of our operations, and in the second quarter, in the second half of 2017, with efficiency plans, price pack architecture, while continue to innovate in our execution at the point of sale. And with that, I'll turn it back to Pancho.
Okay, Emilio, thank you. And in summary, really, we are encouraged by the positive business outlook ahead. The strong foundation that Arca Continental has built over the years, with solid pillars such as diverse product portfolio and expanded regional footprint, outstanding customer and consumer service, and ambitious synergy programs, and one of the most talented teams in the industry. All of this has helped us evolve into an even more competitive and dynamic organization. With over 2.2 billion unit cases sold annually, Arca Continental has become one of the world's largest independent Coca-Cola bottlers. Overall, we serve 118 million people through 1 million points of sale in some of the most attractive Coca-Cola markets in the world. But I would like to remark again that more than size, what is very important for us is to be a better company so we can be more competitive to serve our customers and consumers and create value to our shareholders. We strongly believe that our focus on execution in the marketplace across our diverse geography territory will enable us to create value both in the near and in the long term. At the same time, we will capitalize on our very solid financial position and continue seeking opportunities to grow profitably in the non-alcoholic beverages industry with Coca-Cola and also in complementary business within the Americas. Thank you for your support and trust. Operator, we are now ready for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received, and if at any time you wish to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may do so by dialing star 2. Again, to ask a question, that is star 1. Our first question comes from Lauren Torres with UBS.
Yes, hi. Good morning, everyone. My question relates to the cost pressure that you expect, I guess just more so in the second half of the year. You were very clear on the concerns, or at least what pressured margins in the second quarter. So just curious to get your perspective as we go into the second half of the year, maybe even into next year, how you're viewing, you know, specifically sweetener costs. I think you're facing the concentrate price increase from the Coca-Cola company, the currency, and then obviously talking about U.S. integration costs. So, now, how are you positioning yourself in light of this? And you've been taking some price increases, and you mentioned that almost 9% increase in Mexico. Knowing what we know now, do you think there's a need for another round of pricing? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lauren. Always a great pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for your question. Well, as you mentioned, I mean, we have in due time and diligently announced the effects of what could be the incidence increase in Mexico, which will be impacting the level of in this second part of the year, 120, 140 million pesos. So I'm talking about pesos, okay? So it will be relatively small effect, I mean. And certainly there are other effects like the sugar prices. I mean, sugar in Mexico has been especially in Mexico, has been increasing a lot because the harvest of cane has not been so good. There were a lot of exports to the U.S. before we knew what was the harvesting results and so on. So prices are very, very high and still increasing. So we consider that the rest of issues related to the cost of integration and transition, we have overcome that, and we have placed most of it already in the results, and now we are now starting to get some, let's say, results rather than costs. but the major issues are related to those that I mentioned before, which are important issues, but I think quite workable. The incidents, as I mentioned in Mexico, 120, 140 million pesos plus what I mentioned in Sugar, that could be in the second semester, maybe, I don't know, 200 million pesos, something like that. I'm talking in general figures. So, but if you analyze, let's say, total 300 million pesos additional, and just divide on what is the total sales of the revenue, so Mexico, it's, about, let's say, 1% or less. So our plans are very clear in terms of looking for some operational savings in terms of the fixed cost and as well as some price adjustment. Arturo, would you please expand more my comment related to these two actions that we are going to take, especially in Mexico, and then other projects that we have ahead in this process to overcome these challenges that we mentioned already.
Sure. Hi, Lauren. Certainly we had anticipated some of the pressures that Pancho mentions, especially in the case of Mexico, and also considering that we're comparing ourselves with very high margins historically that we had last year in this operation, but we want to maintain those, of course. So we still have opportunities in pricing for the second half of the year. They have to be selected, but I guess that we've proven to have developed capabilities that are very effective to increase prices in a very selective way and protecting our market share and our leadership in the market. I think the last 2 years are an example of that, and this year where we've increased prices way beyond inflation. So we still have opportunities there. At the same time, we have other opportunities in the cost and expenses of our operation. Ever since we've launched our synergy programs from the mergers, we maintain a culture of identifying initiatives and projects for cost and OPEX savings year over year. So we have revisited that for this year and identified additional opportunities in several areas in procurement, where we already have negotiated a few of the raw material agreements that we have in terms of the growth of some of our categories that will also help us protect margin, especially the zero calorie or lower calorie categories, which is an important strategy of the Coke system around the world, is something that has also the added benefit where sugar prices are so high to protect our margins. And this is a strategy that we had been following since the beginning of the year with Coca-Cola Without Sugar and other of our products.
Yes, and on the other hand, we are still importing obviously an important amount of fructose, which, by the way, we have a very, very competitive price. So I think that definitely it's a challenge, but I think through the combination of actions that has been mentioned more in detail by Arturo, we will look for overcome this and to keep really a very good market position, which obviously we have to continue working hard on this.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Robarts with Citi.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for taking my questions. I had two, Texas and then Ecuador. And, this is clearly the first full quarter that we've seen you with Southwest USA. And frankly, this 13.8% EBITDA margin that you've posted, a little bit higher than we would have expected. And I guess as we think about these pathways that you've just described behind the synergy plan, $60 to $80 million over 3 years, now that you've got your kind of teeth into the business, do you feel that this synergy plan is conservative? Is it something that perhaps has some upside risk? And maybe what could be most helpful is if you could give us a sense of, might it be a linear execution with more come in the first half or the second half? It sounds like the PET processes and the secondary packaging initiatives are things that you can kind of do in the first half of these 3-year period, but if you could give us a sense of how kind of the evolution of capturing these synergies over the 3 years period now that you're into the business, that would be great. So that's the first question.
Thank you, Alex. Always good questions from you. And well, what I can tell you is that we have had meetings with all the committees that we have to assure that this program will be achieved diligently. And we have already clarified very specifically those 60 to 80 million. Probably will be more into the level of 80 rather than 60. But I can tell you that what we are doing is having a very clear picture of what are the specific actions to be taken. No? Some of them require investments and require some more time, but we have already started, by the way, through the process, for instance, of the negotiation with the company, with Coca-Cola. We have really agreed to invest in some areas, like secondary packaging or even the let's say, inline blowing. And we are, by the way, paying for that investment because we decided, let's say, together with them to start gaining some time, you know, in terms of the supply chain. And I think that we will start harvesting that already. We are already harvesting some of it. That reason why you are having better margins, because we decided some of these investments well before, you know. The negotiation process and all the transitions took more than a year, so it was time enough to have decisions in between because we trust each other that we will move. So one of the actions that we took were related to supply chain into these two areas, related to inline blowing and secondary packaging, in which normally our company in U.S. And the Southwest, they use some like trays or something like that to carry some of the bottles to the supermarket. And now we are replacing that for a much more competitive, just shrinkable film. So we minimize cost and reduce losing those kind of trades. And things like that we are moving. But let's say that the most important part will be coming really during the year 2018-19 and part of the 20. So basically it's about even the first 2 years we forecast in general in the level of 20. $1 million each around, and the rest will be in the year 2020. So this year it will be a small amount, as I mentioned, but most of the, half or about half of the total, savings that we will have or actions that we will take of synergy, which will be happening really during the year 2018 and 2019. And the other part on the year 2020. So I hope that I gave you some flavor that we are working really very deeply and in detail, action by action, people who is going to be really in charge of it and how we are going to measure to follow very closely this synergy plan. And we are moving as fast as possible in that regard. And I hope that we can be more into the 80s rather than into 60. No?
Great. I'm not very clear. Thanks for that. I wanted just to shift down to Ecuador. This is a business that it seems to me at this point you're cycling, the anniversary of these events, including earthquake, sugar tax, and recession. And you mentioned in the prepared remarks that you're seeing a slow, gradual recovery. But as we think about second half in Ecuador, and maybe into early next year, how should we think about the ability of ARCA to get back to the pre, kind of earthquake sugar tax levels? We saw after the fiscal reform in Mexico, it was a little bit more than a year before you got back to those volume levels, and I'm wondering, using that as a benchmark, would the recovery to kind of pre-fiscal reform levels happen in Ecuador before this next few quarters, or do you think it's going to take really more time into 2019? So that's the second question. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. I mean, you are right. We are cycling already with this major challenge that we suffered in the second quarter of last year. And certainly that is helping, let's say, in the comparisons from now on. But I would like to ask Arturo to tell us what do you expect, Arturo, with this market, especially because of the situation of the economy in Ecuador still remains a little bit challenging.
Right. Well, certainly there is a slower than expected recovery of the beverage industry from the tax effects and the economy in general in terms of the consumer environment. So we're no doubt suffering recession in Ecuador. But if you look at, as you say, once we have recycled the effects of the tax, we've been growing volume in the period of May, June, we've grown almost 4%. The volume for a business in Ecuador. But I think that at this point, we are not focusing on how we're going to return to original volumes, but most of all, how we're going to recover the original profitability. And I think that would be achieved sooner than, the volumes are back to where they were, because the margins are continue to improve, and we continue to find opportunities for profitability in the market. So this year, we are closing with a positive volume growth, which certainly has not been the case in the first months of the year, and so we expect the second half of the year to grow high single digit, probably 7% or so. So we are launching many of the activities that we've been doing for months now. We've continued to invest in the market and in our execution of the point of sale, to being more efficient, especially by focusing on efforts to making low-calorie products more affordable to our consumers. Our mix of low-calorie in Ecuador is 44%. It's one of the highest in the world, probably the highest in the region. So, and that also is very important for the profitability of the business. So I think we are in reversing the trend. We're in very good shape to get back to where we were, especially in, at the level of the EBITDA for the country.
Oh, yes. It's clear what has been mentioned by Arturo, that the trend in the last months, let's say May, June, are much better, definitely now positive, and that means that we are cycling, but not only cycling, I would say even in a very challenging economy, because still Ecuador is not so easy in that regard. We are doing all the right actions to take a better position in the market, launching new products, and especially these no-sugar products, which are very, very successful. And the margin is quite good, by the way, even probably at this time in the last few months, better than used to be in the past. So we have a good expectative in that regard in general, for the second, even the challenge of the economy, let's see.
Okay.
I don't think that answered the question, Alex.
It did. Thank you very much, guys. Yeah. Thank you.
Hope to see you soon.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please refrain your questions to one question at a time. Our next questioner is Martha Shelton with BBVA.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. Very quickly on Mexico, just curious to know, we're coming up on inflation at 6.3% year over year. You know, I think the food, beverages, and tobacco component of that is, you know, near 7.5% as of the June print. So keen to know if you're starting to see indications of a slowdown in the Mexican consumer. Are you seeing a mix shift towards the multi-serves? Are you seeing a mix shift towards some of those, returnable packages? I'd appreciate any color. Thanks so much.
Yes, Arturo, please proceed with that.
Yeah. Hello, Martha. Good to talk to you. Well, certainly the economy has not had spectacular growth. We expect less than 2% in the quarter. But the beverage industry, however, still shows very positive growth, solid growth of still beverages. And here in Arca Contal, we've made additional gains by gaining market share in stills. And in terms of the breakdown that you mentioned, we've been growing single-serve presentations this year. So our mix of single-serve has improved in the first 6 months of the year, which is, I think, also a good sign that, you know, consumption is in good shape. We are, as you know, more than 48% in single-serve presentations. That's a very healthy mix and very profitable mix, of course, and continues to improve. In terms of returnable versus non-returnable, we've been growing on the non-returnable packages on the year, which is also a sign normally of good times. We've seen returnable presentations grow in difficult economic conditions. So if you take it into account those two particular metrics, I think we would say that we're still in very good shape in terms of the consumption environment. And then if you look at the categories, still beverages continue to drive growth. But we grow on every category. We grow on SSDs. We grow on regular Coca-Cola, on flavored SSDs as well. And also growth across the channels is very healthy. Every single channel contributes to growth. Traditional channel, convenience, and supermarkets. So I think we have a very balanced growth for the first half of the year. We expect that to continue for the rest of the year.
And Marta, really, if you see just, recently, well, probably, I mean, today or yesterday, S&P also reviewed this, the Mexican, let's say, the grade and of the debt and everything, and seems to be that it's getting better. And the situation is that really tourism is growing well, remittances are growing well. In general, if you ask me how are the, at least in our territories in the north or in the Bajío area, jobs, I mean, are really a lot of job creation. And it's really scarce to find manpower and especially lower levels. So in that regard, that means that we have in general a good position in the economy, and the situation with the free trade agreement, NAFTA and so on, is getting now a better picture, I think, so for everyone. So I don't see any major disturbance. Obviously, probably not the same growth that we have had last year, but it still will remain very healthy, as was mentioned by Arturo. And there are some channels that give you channels of sales that really give you a good hint that is working well. I mean, some of the entertainment is going very well. We have that channel, entertainment, which means all the areas in which people want to spend money when they have excess of cash. Or always on premise, for instance, for dining or food and dining, and it's growing very well. So those channels, which really we attend, and let's say the working segment for as another channel, the plants are growing very well. So it means we attend those channels who are not, let's say, the traditional or the convenience stores, but are specific channels which are relatively small, but give us a very clear picture that still the consumption is healthy. No? So general economy sounds good in Mexico, and the indications that we have on the specific channels that give us some clear information at least tell us that we are moving well up to now. Thank you, Mark, for your question.
Great. Thank you very much. Great answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Antonio Gonzalez with Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning, Pancho, Arturo, and team. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to ask, what's the volume trend that you see for the U.S. this year specifically, and then what's your assessment or ambition, I guess, in 2-3 years' time? And specifically, I wanted to ask, when you balance the backdrop of obviously carbonated beverages perhaps declining in North America, vis-a-vis the opportunity that you have in terms of execution with your route-to-market model and so on, where does that lead you in terms of, I guess, your volume projections for the medium and long term? And just finally, on the same topic, obviously when we see the breakdown between carbonated beverages and water and sealed products in the U.S., carbonated beverages are roughly 70% of the mix right now. Where do you see that going in 2-3 years' time? Do you think it can go down to 60% perhaps because the rest of the portfolio is growing more rapidly? Any thoughts that you can share on that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm always good to talk with you, and thanks for your question, Tana. And, well, it's a very good question what you have raised at this time. Obviously, today, what the first thing we are doing together with our team and in U.S., and together with Coke, of course, is to, let's say, balance the growth to be flat or slightly above the zero, which is very important. I mean, not to diminish volume at all. This is the first part, no? So you level off the situation, and then from that point, we will have to start moving forward with some additional volume. What is important, as you have probably known, is that it's not only the volume, but it's transactions, and especially to have a much more, let's say, single serve, especially for immediate consumption, so we can grow faster in terms of transactions and certainly the value. No? Value, it is a critical factor. No? So those things should be taken into account. But for the time being, we are leveling that and slightly positive growth, but we hope that we can start taking some action to start moving forward in that direction more and more. And what I can tell you is that there will be obviously more products like the Topo Chico eventually there, which will bring additional volume. And I mean, the market share that we can get in some of the categories like isotonics or things which still are for tea and so on, which plenty of opportunity and so on and so forth. So I'm sure that Arturo have better information to share with you, but there are specific plans and certainly are part of the synergies in the RGM as well as service models, because we need to assure that we can cover more, let's say, points of sale and find ways of improving really the way we, let's say, sell into the normal channel or regular channel like a supermarket. No? Please, Arturo, if you are so kind,
sure.
Extend this.
Hello, Tonio. Well, talking about the mix that you mentioned, you know, if you have Nielsen information, in our territories in the U.S., The sparkling beverages represent, if you consider already water in it, they would represent about one-third of the NARTD volume. And but most important is that in our own mix, sparkling has a higher share of the mix. So that means we have you know, a bigger opportunity, obviously, in the stills beverages, which are the ones that are growing the most. We have a total market share where we average in NARTD of in around the 31.5% approx. But that average is brought down by our participation in the still segment. In those categories, we have plenty of opportunities to increase our share of value. We are growing our share of value in particularly energy, which is one of the fastest growing categories, sports drinks, tea, juices. Water is a challenge because that's a low margin category. It's driven by, you know, low prices and private label. So we have to focus on profitability. What we're doing, aside from the synergy program that Pancho has mentioned, we have focused on some of the basics in the market. We are redefining our operational indicators, or fundamentals, as we call them in Mexico, to improve our execution of the point of sale and manage the variables that are, you know, under our control. And an important part of our program is to optimize volume and revenue per outlet with open PPC for all categories. And we have specific projects for Powerade, as Pancho mentioned, for Topo Chico, for imports of Coca-Cola from Mexico, and for other of the stills categories that would represent an opportunities for growth. So if you look at those mixes and our share of value, we can clearly identify that that's a big opportunity for growing the market in the future.
Right. Thank you so much, Pancho and Arturo.
Thank you, Natalia. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Luca Cipicia with Goldman Sachs.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Just a small follow-up. Most of my questions were already asked, but I saw the contribution from other went up quite materially in the quarter, especially at the EBITDA level. And I just wanted to clarify if this is a reflection of the changing classification, and is that in relative terms the level that we should assume going forward, and does that explain in small amount or partially at least the contribution from Mexico as well, with the margin contracted probably more than what we anticipated, even though I think we discussed the impact of the dollar and the sugar price. Just if you can clarify that other line, it would be great.
Thank you, Luca. It's great to talk with you. And I will ask Emilio to talk about this others in RDA. I'm not sure if we understood very well the first part of your question, because you are talking about the income statement and others in the income statement, or what is
the feature? I think if I look at the sum of the regional divisions and the total and the accumulated, I think what comes from other, both in terms of especially in terms of EBITDA contribution, is proportionally higher than what it has been in historically. We can take the question off the line if it's not clear, but it seems that it went up quite a lot. Like, you know, the balance between the sum of the regional contribution, U.S., Mexico, South America, and the actual consolidated, and I think I assume that comes from the other.
We have not mentioned to you, but we have another division. No, I'm just joking now. I mean, now I understand your question. I mean, that it means that there is a, you mentioned that there is a difference. Well, we have had some others always there related to some cases, some charges of, let's say, the related to business for this acquisition, for instance, that we made, and that is in the cost part. But also other areas of which normally we have to include is the vending and other areas which we separate normally in complementary business. But I think I will ask Emilio to answer your question more in detail when you analyze this specific question, Emilio, in due time, no? Probably you can follow up this question, or you have an answer to at this moment.
Yeah, I just want to be sure that it's on the income statement. You're talking
yes.
about the line other income, 191 versus 142. That's the one that you're talking about?
No,
not the other income. It's actually what I mean is the balance between, you know, the consolidated EBITDA and the EBITDA contribution from the beverage business. But again, maybe it's easier if I would, you know, I'll follow up.
If you don't mind, Luca, I will ask really offline to answer
absolutely,
this.
Absolutely,
we need
no
to
problem
at all. Make this addition and specifics and to calculate specifically that. Well, I don't think there will be a major issue regarding this. But let's go to, if you don't mind, Emilio, you can follow up this.
I'll call you.
So
okay.
We can continue
absolutely.
With it. Thank you, Luca. Regarding the margin contraction in Mexico, we have already explained to you this issue of sugar and also exchange rate. And certainly, we have some opportunity areas, as I mentioned, and that we will try to leverage in order to overcome the next increase in incidence, which I mentioned is going to be 120 or 40 million pesos in the second semester, and which was already announced a year ago or more than that. And it is including the sugar increases, which still remain in place in Mexico, it will be less than 1% effect, and we will look for a mix of price increases and saving costs because we have to be more aggressive in that area also. We normally have projects for, optimization, like some in the purchasing area for raw materials that was mentioned by Artur, like the closures or plastic closures and so on. We finished negotiation in with some of the suppliers and we are getting some savings. But additionally to that, we are moving into fixed cost and expenses more aggressively to look for alternatives to improve in that area.
Just quickly, if I can clarify, because I didn't ask my question correctly earlier. What I meant was, if I look at the Mexico and U.S. consolidated results as they used to be disclosed in the past for revenue and EBITDA, and I separate the beverage business that you disclose now, so the Mexico beverage, U.S. beverages, and the other, so the snacks and the other businesses, the implied EBITDA of other, from which is around 500 or so million, is much higher, EBITDA margin is much higher than, you know, it historically was for so that's where I couldn't reconcile. So
maybe the main difference, Luca, is that in others now we have the vending. After the restructuring of
right.
ET Bebidas and complementary businesses, now vending business, which have much higher margin, is on the complementary business in others. So that's why that's increasing the average margin that you were comparing before with only the snack business.
Yes,
that makes sense. And therefore, Mexico, I would assume, looks relatively lower because vending is no longer in Mexico.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
But certainly, vending. We are talking of vending, as I mentioned before, in Mexico.
Yes.
Okay.
In Mexico,
and we have also some vending in Peru, but I mean, we don't want to...
You did a good analysis.
No, you're right. Thank you.
The question wasn't clear, but I think we got to the right answer.
Thank you so much. Good to talk with you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Pedro Leduc with JP Morgan.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for taking the question. Quickly on the U.S., I'm more interested on the value growth or revenue growth that reported this quarter or estimated organically, 4.7% year-over-year, despite a mention of flat volumes. And then question is how this value growth was achieved. I'm assuming that the pure price increase is just too much. So can you elaborate a bit on the contribution for the 4.7 that the both commercial initiatives and other categories have, specifically, for example, energy drinks, if they're gaining more share, and which ones, which probably have a higher average price. And then last, if we can expect this revenue growth pace to remain for the remainder of the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Pedro, for your question, and it's always great to listen to that, and good question. Just regarding this increase, obviously it's increased percent plus a mix, no? So it's a combination of both, and certainly Arturo have further information to share with you.
Right. I think it's what Pancho has mentioned. We have not increased prices at that level. Prices in the period were increased about 2.5% around that number. But there has been some positive changes in mix, not only in growth of some of the categories that contribute more, but also in terms of the channels. Some of the channels that are transferred, some of the customers that are transferred to the system that is managed centralized, and then some of the customers that are received from the U.S. National system will create a change in the mix that results in this this revenue increase. So I think that is a combination that results in the 4.7%.
Oh, thank you.
It's 4.2%. Thank you. For the remainder of the year, then we shouldn't see any change. This pace should well remain.
You mean any change in what? In
to keep that level of growth, you say?
Yes.
I mean, we cannot listen to you very well. Can you? Are you there, Pedro?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, if your question is that there will be no major changes through the second semester, except that probably we will start moving with Topo Chico through the end of the year, let's say in the fourth quarter. No? That's something that will start moving somehow this in a better situation.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Luis Miranda with Santander.
Yes. Hi, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking the question. It's a follow-up on South America, Pancho. You mentioned the sequential recovery in Argentina and gave some numbers on Ecuador. I wanted to ask you if you could clarify those numbers and give us some color on Peru on a month-over-month basis.
Okay. Thank you very much, Luis. I mean, we did not talk too much about Peru. I mean, the volume has been relatively flat this quarter, but I mean, the economy seems to be, I mean, it's a healthy economy anyways, as you can realize reading all whatever information from that country, but they have not, been able to accomplish some important movements in terms of actions for infrastructure and investors and so on. So that reason why the real consumption in Peru has not been so good in this second quarter. And we don't foresee relatively near term big change in that regard. So, however, I mean, in terms of market share and the launching of new products and actions that we are taking there to have a better, let's say, position in the market, we expect to have some growth in the second semester, and more importantly, in terms of savings and the actions. So, in order to complete synergies, we will have a better results in terms of the performance. So, Arturo, can you add some information?
Sure, just a couple of things, Luis. First is the period of March to May. Certainly, the consumer goods, the NARTD basket decreased in Peru. We did not expect that. And overall in the year 2017, the consumer goods basket has decreased. The economy is not performing as expected, but we are growing across most of the categories. If you see, we're growing sparkling, flavored water, stills. We are mostly offset by plain water in the period. Water is the most affected category in this economic situation. But we're gaining share. We're gaining share in water. We're gaining share in sparkling in the year. And we continue to focus on our core brands, especially on the zero variant. So we expect a much better second half of the year because of, first of all, that this situation, we understand that it is just temporary. It will not last for very long, and there is a very good expectation for the Peruvian economy. And second is that we're going to be recycling a mostly flat second half of the year of last year, so we have opportunities to capture a significant growth in this market from here to the end of the year.
Right. So it's important to mention that even the economy is not doing too well. Again, fundamentally, the economy is in good shape. It's just a temporary situation they have in Peru in the consumption area because they have not been investing according to what we expected in infrastructure, airports, everything. Hopefully, they will fix these approvals and processes in place in the country to start doing better. But even in that situation, we are having gaining in market share. That is very important and better position in all categories. That's critical, no? So we hope that the second semester will be better in terms of growth. And more synergies, no, Arturo, to come?
Yes, we still have part of our synergy program coming along for even next year, in 2017 and 2018. Yes.
So an important number, by the way. Eh? So, I mean, we don't want to mention too much about it, but we have a very good expectative, especially through the end of the year and the beginning of next, important numbers. In terms
We did mention that we started operation of a new distribution center that consolidates operations in Lima, and that is not only a source of efficiency, but also of better execution and better serving the Lima market.
And so on. So consolidations of some operations and infrastructure in the supply chain, which will save a lot of money. So I think that it's a very good news for the end of the and the year and the beginning of next in that regard.
Thank you. Thank you, Pancho. Thank you, Arturo. That was all.
Great to talk with you, Luis. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Antonio Hernandez with Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. We see a difference from adding sales of the three divisions, Mexico, U.S., and South America versus consolidated sales. Is that difference related to Southwest Beverages sales to other bottlers, or what makes this difference? Thanks.
Thank you, Tony. I will ask Emilio to answer this part of your question, please.
Yes, it's good to that you notice that as we mentioned in the report, as you can see on the table with the sales of U.S., we disclose at the bottom that does not include sales to other bottlers. So that's basically the difference. If you add together all the sales, that's the difference.
And it's important number, by the way,
yeah.
But we don't control that, and we don't get money from that, so better not to put that.
That's correct.
Very marginal.
Okay, and is there any EBITDA attached to that?
Well, basically, no.
Very marginal. So it's part of a process that we will continue to discuss with the NPRG system there in the future.
Okay. It's a new, let's say, formula within the bottlers in the U.S.
I mean, we did not pay for that, by the way. I mean, I wanted to mention that. I mean, in other words, these transactions that we recently made, I mean, does not include any EBITDA coming from that. So you may understand, but there is something work to do there in that regard to continue following with the rules there in the U.S., but now we are part of the National Power Supply Group, and we will start talking about what's the best manner of moving ahead in that regard. Okay?
Oh, okay, and is the margin, because of the 13.8, is that margin impacted because of this? because of these sales, because of artificially higher sales, or not?
No, there's okay. No, that is not considered on sales nor EBITDA. So
I mean, we have not okay. considered that anywhere.
Taking out
at any level. And was that considered in the past?
In the past. I mean,
That was not considered in the valuation.
When it wasn't part of ARCA?
No, that's new. Okay. This is new. This is the first quarter that we have this. And as Pancho mentioned, we did not include that volume and that.
By the way, I'm just to mention, the company did not exist at that time. It was just a part of coal division. It was very complicated. But when we announced to you margins and everything, we did not take into account that, and we didn't pay for it, you know? Now, I mean, it is very marginal contribution in that regard, and it's a formula that has to be really reanalyzed, I think, within the NPSG system, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Felipe Ucros with Scotiabank.
Yes, hello. Thanks for the space for questions. Maybe a part of my question was already answered when you took Lisa's question regarding what was happening with water in Peru. But when I look at the results, it seems like non-CSEs are suffering a little bit in the South American markets. Are you noticing any change in trends in the regions, or is this more related to the fact that the macro dynamics in the countries are not doing exactly as expected, and that maybe the water category specifically is the one that is suffering? That's basically my question. And if you could expand a little on what's happening in Argentina, I know you very briefly touched on it, but obviously it's been a bad year for the consumer with subsidies being reduced and disposable income coming down. What are you expecting on the second half of the year in Argentina? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Felipe. Well, I mean, Argentina is behaving very well, by the way. I mean, still the economy, there are some challenges, as you know, but especially with inflation and so on, huh? However, I can tell you that in our case, we are having extremely good results, yeah? And I would say very good results, more than expected. And very important to say that additionally to what is happening there is that there will be a new source of profit coming, which is related to the sugar mill that we already acquired, remember probably, we mentioned a year and a half before the devaluation of the peso argentino. We covered ourselves with some special funds related to U.S. Exchange, but also we covered our money there investing in this sugar mill that is located just in Tucumán, very nearby our most important plant there in the north of Argentina. So that sugar mill has been there since more than a year, but we have not used that sugar because we were investing into having a refined sugar and improve the quality and so on. That is already done with a very minimal investment. We acquired that sugar mill at a very low price, by the way, and that will give us a lot of volume of sugar soon that we will use ourselves and will really improve our margins for two reasons. One is on the tax issue because it's part of our company and there are no sales between companies and there is no tax sales tax there, which normally you cannot recover that. So we will avoid that tax. That probably is about 5% in the sugar price, plus obviously the margin of the refined sugar that we will have, which will be very good. So that will improve even more from September onwards, I would say, no, Arturo? That is important. So, in general, we expect that the economy is going to be better. We think that volume is also recovering, and certainly margin will be, is good, and it's going to be even greater because of this transactions that we made on the sugar mill that will bring those benefits. And in that regard, we feel very positive. And Arturo, can you mention something else in that?
Yes, with respect to stills growth, as you ask, I would say that in the three countries in South America, the situation is different. In Peru, I mentioned, it's plain water that's been decreasing in volume recently, and it's also part of, you know, the growth that that category had in the first quarter because of the, challenges in the country and the need for water from the landslides and the flooding. And there is some inventory that was created, but certainly consumption has slowed down in water, but we continue to gain share. The case of Argentina, it's different. In Argentina, the last few months where we're starting to see a recovery, stills are growing. Flavored water is growing at, 7-8% of the last 2 months. Juices have been growing at more than 4% of the last 2 months. That is a higher rate than sparkling. We've been growing our share in plain water also is growing over the year at 4%. We're gaining share in stills in Argentina. We're flat in sparkling. We're gaining share in stills. And so we, as Pancho said, we expect a better second half of the year. We expect to grow at least a low single digit for the third and the fourth quarter, which will allow us to close the year with volume growth in the country. In the case of Ecuador, I would say that stills and other category growth is mostly driven by the zero-calorie segment. It's mostly about affordability, and we've been able to drive growth mostly in Coca-Cola brand with the one-brand strategy. But I don't find a specific pattern for explaining that in terms of the consumer. It's just about affordability considering the situation in that country.
Thank you. Very
clear. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Julie Chariot with Bloomberg.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I do have, I think, one left. I just wanted to ask just strategically what may be coming next. I'm sure plates are full with all the work and the synergies that you're looking for in the U.S., but are you still looking this year, do you think, at some other potential expansions, especially with the Coca-Cola plan to divest more bottling around the world? Thanks.
Very good question. Thank you for that. And it's a good question to almost conclude the conference because it's been a long conference. But it's important to say that, as I mentioned at the beginning of my speech, is that there will be more projects to come for sure. And through all these 91 years, almost coming to 92 years together with Coca-Cola, we are now in a great, great level of relationship that we have to continue moving forward together. And certainly we are analyzing deeply one small territory, but there in, as you know, to Texas, no, which is related to, what we call Great Plains, Oklahoma, and we mentioned that at the very beginning of the process about a year ago, but still making some discussions in that regard. I mean, it's not a big territory, but it's important in terms of location that makes a lot of synergies to our process that we have there in place, no? And that is a next step to come, and hopefully that we will conclude proactively this process soon. But a part of that, I mean, we have other things to do related to some complementary business, and obviously we will not stop, but we will act diligently first to consolidate what we have done and have a clear actions, as we mentioned in the synergies, and really have a clear picture of who is going to do what and how we are going to follow up this closely and inform to you, obviously transparently as always, and to keep really our attention in the most important part, which is really the market and our associates, and certainly as a consequence, creating value to our shareholders. But we will continue moving ahead. We have a very extraordinarily good position, 1.17, ratio of net debt on EBITDA, which is, I think, quite good. So we and we have a lot of cash there, but we are not going to do anything wrong just to use that. We will act diligently as always. As I mentioned also at the beginning of my speech, for us it's most important to be a good company rather than to be big. If we can be a big company to be a better company, that's a good definition, no? To serve our customers and consumers better. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Francisco Garza Egloff for closing remarks.
Thank you very much, operator. And thank you for all of you and all your participation and certainly for your continued interest and support in Arca Continental. And with Investor Relations team, as you know, as always available, if you have any additional questions or discussions or even ourselves if needed. I look forward to speaking with you again following the close of the third quarter. And thanks again, and have an excellent day, all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.